now entering a new forum to discuss reality, not illusion. Welcome to UFO Encounters Live with your Watchman of the Night Skies, Ronnie McMullen.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of UFO Encounters Live, and I'm your host, Ronnie McMullen. Tonight, I want to talk about the crop circle that hit Chular, California, near Salinas, and I want to talk about the fact that this crop circle has affected a lot of people in some very interesting ways. A lot of people believe in crop circles, and a lot of people don't. The crop circles that have appeared in England usually are pretty straightforward, but now we're seeing a lot of hoaxes. And even as you have heard the guests on UFO Encounters, we're finding that more and more in the end of our era, we're finding hoaxes, which has always kind of stumped me. Why there would be hoaxes. I guess, you know, you build a Nike tennis shoe, there's got to be somebody that impersonates the Nike tennis shoe and wants to sell it for more. But in the case of the hoaxes of crop circles, I've never seen the hoax go very far. What are they actually gaining out of it? They have to spend time and energy and maybe even financial to get this crop circle done. They have to ruin crops. And they do. They actually ruin certain crops when they go in and hoax one of these crop circles. You might say that the real crop circles mess up the crop as well, but actually it's been detected that this is not true. Usually the crop that has been affected by a real crop circle will produce more and grow better for the next few years. So we can't really say that whatever the phenomena that brings the crop circle to our attention, the real McCoy, it brings out a better crop. Sometimes a harvest that's twice as much. In fact, in some areas, the farmer actually welcomes the crop circle and feels it's a sign that he might be being talked to. Later on the show, I'm going to have guest Philip Molnar, and he is a staff writer for Monterey County Herald. He'll be joining us the second half of the show. And we're going to be talking about the Chular crop circle. And of course, it had a meaning on it as well. And I want to go through some of these meanings before, because I find it interesting. Whether this crop circle is real or whether this crop circle is a hoax, and we will find out tonight on the show. I want to show you some information that maybe you didn't know about. And I think what's interesting, and it sometimes kind of bothers me, when you go into a situation and you're not sure if it's a truth or not. If, of course, I was hours away from this crop circle and was going to actually go investigate it myself. Not that I am the perfect crop circle investigator, but I have learned from my colleagues that have been on the show. And I knew there would be an energy field inside the crop circle. I knew that the plants would be in a certain direction, certain way, and you know, there's hoaxes are getting better, of course. But I would more rely on my intuitiveness, knowing the energy field, and be able to tell if this was a real crop circle. I have had my doubts that it has been real. But the braille piece in the middle of the crop circle, and of course this is all over the internet as well, but the braille piece that brings out the number 192, this is something that's really kind of a interesting piece of information as well, because Braille is obviously hidden to the human eye. You have to feel it. You have to, you know, so this code that's in the middle of the crop circle, being 192, has a meaning. And what the meaning is, we'll bring that out in the second half of the show. But curious, and I want to bring this to the light, because when I started kind of going through crop circles, I found this one article by Celeste Adams, and it's called Decoding the Meaning of Crop Circles. And what it says crop circles researchers Ed and Chris Sherwood feel that the messages of the crop circles reflect the language of literal and metaphorical symbolism, and that they are directed at all of us. The Sherwoods believe that by exploring the crop circle phenomenon with an open mind, without fear, without assumptions, they've been able to gain insight into their meaning. In order to understand a particular crop circle, they feel it is necessary to let go of preconceived ideas. And it basically says, crop circles, okay, according to the Sherwoods, the crop circle designs are symbolic and literal metaphors that contain a wealth of encoded information. Sometimes they observe the genuine crop circles, and they're deceptively simple looking, that one might wonder if they really have something significant to say. But the Sherwoods have concluded that even the simplest formations have multiple layers of meaning. And the designs in certain crop circles even seem to be tied to sacred symbols from more than one culture. When we first look at a pattern, we might not immediately recognize it, Ed explains. Or we might recognize some aspect of it and go off to investigate it, which I think is what we are meant to do. You may explore connections and associated symbols, and you may discover that one crop circle actually has multiple layers of meaning, all cross-referencing each other. Now, I think it's interesting to know that crop circles are really not prevalent in the United States. And this, for me, is a huge meaning, too. I've asked most of the crop circle researchers why we don't have more crop circles. And, of course, a lot of it has to go to rituals, has to go to sacred sites in England. Well, this article goes on to say, although crop circles have appeared mainly in Wiltshire, England, they have also appeared in countries around the world. Many Native American tribes have seen crop circles that reflect their own symbols and the fulfillment of their prophecies. Colin Andrews spoke of a Hopi elder who said that a crop circle in the early 90s was a symbol of Mother Earth crying because of the damage inflicted upon her. Now, this makes me, as I stop for a second, this makes me think about Fukushima. You kind of wonder if there's going to be a crop circle that relates to what's going on with Fukushima, dumping, you know, 300 plus tons in the Pacific Ocean every single day of waste. It says in 1996, the Sherwoods were the only researchers to report on a crop circle that appeared in Laguna Canyon, California. This formation was remarkable in that although there were no telltale footprints of, or handprints of any kind near it, the soil was so soft that any human activity around the site would have left deep impressions. Ed photographed this formation before he and Chris went into it to document this absence of prints. The formation was created in a different medium than most others, occurring on a hillside covered by many species of plants rather than in a crop field. An analysis of the bent plants by W.C. Levengood, a noted biophysicist and expert in crop circle plant analysis, confirmed the authenticity of the formation. Most crop circles, as we have noted, originate in England. Here, only the plants originated in England, even though it formed in California, and even though there were numerous species of available plants, the pictogram was delineated by two English plant species, Ed says, bent in the way characteristic of a genuine formation. but this formation looked more like a petroglyph than a typical English crop circle design. And their investigation revealed compelling connections between the design and the once indigenous people of the area of the Tongva Indians, whose sacred land and grave sites were being bulldozed in March of 1996 to build a highway. This formation was comprised of three glyphs, one of which resembled the sacred sun staff of the Chumash Indians. Could it be that the three glyphs related to the three warnings of a local indigenous legend? And a hero named Chinganmish, a Tongva spiritual leader, appeared hundreds of years ago to teach the people how to live in harmony with the Nokuma of the Great Spirit. Chinganmish said that Nokuma would give three warnings to people who failed to respect the land, and beyond that, nature would take its course. The Laguna Canyon pictogram containing three glyphs appeared at a site where there had been considerable local protests against a toll road construction, which was making a wide path through the last small piece of wilderness there. The Sherwoods do not believe this was a simple or just a small coincidence. They suggest that perhaps it was a warning that we need to change, or change will be brought upon us. Now, this is something that I'm kind of wondering myself. We've had multiple crop circles in England, and we've had a few in the United States, and you know, a considerable amount in Latin America, a few in Canada. I think there's been a few in China. And many of them hoaxes, but some of them not. Obviously, the older ones definitely not. And so we're finding as we get into the latter years that the crop circles are becoming more hoaxes than realities. Does this mean that the energy of whatever that crop circle is, whether it's extraterrestrial or something from God, does this mean that their messages are slowing down because man's taking over with his bogus messages? Join me. I'll be right back. Hi folks, Ronnie McMullen here for Dakota Minerals and Organics. Home gardening is becoming an epidemic. As food has been changing for the worse, poor quality, less nutrients, and so on, consumers are turning to their own plots of land to grow real food. According to NationalGeographic.com, conventional fertilizers that are derived from petroleum can contain an equivalent of 2.5 gallons of gasoline for a 40-pound bag. I thought gasoline was for cars, not plants. Here's an idea. Give your plants real plant food. Dakota Minerals and Organics, the real deal. Their 16-14-14 full diet will give your plants a diet they'll love. Their products create healthier plants, which can give you more yield, sweeter fruit, and it's eco-friendly. Order now. It's shipped directly to you. RealPlantFood.com. That's RealPlantFood.com. Inexpensive and a gift to your plants. That's RealPlantFood.com. And come see us at the Tulare Ag Show. Welcome back to the show, and of course, talking about crop circles. Messages from I don't know where. Maybe we should find out. This article that I pulled up really kind of goes a little further. And I don't know. It's almost like it was written by me, but it was not. And when I say that, in other words, I share pretty much the same views, not completely, but almost the same views. And I wanted to go on because it says the messages challenge us. And this is really something, if we get an open mind, they should challenge us. But if we're just saying they're all hoaxes, then we become closed-minded. And when the real message comes, we're not going to get it. He says the messages in crop circles seem to come, according to Ed and Chris, from a level of consciousness that requires us not only to observe them, but to interact with them if we wish to decipher their meaning. We're meant to think. We're meant to investigate, the Sherwoods say. We think that that message are coming from our collective consciousness. They appear to us like a dream, symbols for things that have been suppressed from our conscious minds, things we haven't been dealing with. They're symbolically trying to draw our attention to these issues, the way poltergeist activity will manifest. It's like a dream, but one which has been conceived by the collective consciousness. The crop circle is made up of more information than our conscious mind. That's why we tend to feel that it's conceived by something greater than ourselves. So there's three possible origins. The Sherwoods think that there are some sources for the crop circles. Number one, some are man-made. Number two, some generally simple circles or sets of circles with perhaps one or two pictograms are made by extraterrestrials. And three, the rest are made by divine intelligence. Other researchers in the crop circle community do not necessarily embrace this perspective. And there even are times when it is not well tolerated. Here's what Ed Sherwood had to say about this. I've looked at hundreds of formations, and I've also had multiple close encounters with the phenomenon that I feel is creating most of the genuine formations. We're not talking about extraterrestrial intelligence. We are referring to something beyond that, which is greater and more fundamental, the very source of where we come from and even where they come from. And I've noticed that in the last 5 or 6 years, there has been a slight change in other researchers' views. Some are slowly coming around to the idea that maybe it's more than just the ET explanation. In 1990, I started to share my views with crop circle researchers. For years, I encountered the opinion that the genuine formations were made by ETs. And that's putting it pretty simply. They thought a formation had to be either man-made or extraterrestrial. Others said it was made by Gaia. I felt very alone when I first started saying that the creator was God or the infinite intelligence of life. That is something I've been saving publicly for years now, and it may be the case that more people are coming around to seeing it just that way. Some known researchers are beginning to change their views. Those who were very pro-extraterrestrial are now becoming to think the creators are the collective consciousness, a global poltergeist, but from an infinite source, expressing infinite intelligence. It's not like an aggressive, angry poltergeist that's coming from the collective consciousness of a single individual going through an emotional crisis. It's a global collective consciousness that is coming into awareness and is triggering a response from the infinite collective consciousness of all life. Because some crop circles have been considered hoaxes, some researchers have jumped to the conclusion that they're all hoaxes. And this year, a number of hoaxers admitted that they had made certain crop circles that had previously been thought to be genuine. As a result, some researchers have become so disillusioned that they have swung like a pendulum to the opposite extreme and are now saying that all crop circles are man-made. In spite of this, we maintain that some are made by people, some are made by ETs, and some are made by the superconsciousness force of creation. The truth is often diverse and complex, and to find the answer to the origins, you have to be like a true scientist, an inquirer, Who doesn't believe in one thing or another? You have to see what picture the information paints. Over time, it becomes clearer. The Sherwoods agree that Colin Andrews is probably fairly close in his estimate that perhaps 80% of the crop circles made in England during 1999 and 2000 were man-made. There are very active groups that are trying to discredit and fool researchers, Chris says. They want people to accept their formations as genuine. Perhaps some of them are sponsored by people who have big interest in making sure the genuine phenomena isn't recognized. I insert here to say there is a reason for this, in my opinion. Why would we have so many hoaxes that cost people time and energy? And yes, I mean, maybe somebody wants to get popular because they have this, you know, formation and they fooled people, you know. But what kind of satisfaction do you really get out of that? But what if there was a collective, let's call it a collective leadership, I hate to use that word, but a collective leadership that was basically wanting to muddy the waters with crop circles so that if we had so many hoaxes that even the real crop circles would be muddied and we would say, oh, that's not real. So now we get a real message from something that's maybe not even extraterrestrial, but absolutely the infinite source, giving us maybe even a warning. But because of the muddied waters, we don't heed the warning. And this could be even with our own ecosystem. We don't heed the warning. We do not change. And thus, we suffer consequences. Is this a possibility? Why maybe there are so many hoaxes? And it seems that the hoaxes are increasing as time increases. This, people, to me, is a very scary fact, and it's something that I firmly believe is true. And I want to share some stuff with you, but my guest is coming on, Philip Molnar. He, again, staff writer for Monterey County Herald, and he was in the Crop Circle. So join me right after these messages.
If you would like to make contact with the host, email Ronnie at ufoshow@msn.com and make contact.
Hi, folks. Ronnie McMullen here for Life Change Tea. Here's a strange thought. The government shut down and your colon could be a parallel. If your colon shuts down like the government, you could be in trouble. Your organs feed off the nutrients that move through your colon. If your colon has corruption problems, you could get very ill. People with bathroom struggles love Life Change Tea. If you drink Life Change Tea, you'll avoid a colon shutdown. You will have more energy and feel great. You might even lose some weight. There's one key element to all of this working. You have to take the product. Just do it. So here's how to order. Log on to getthetea.com, and there's a lot more product than just tea. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call them at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Again, avoid a shutdown. That's getthetea.com. Philip, welcome to the Ronnie McMullen Show. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing really good. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, I'm very excited to have you on. We'll talk about, you're obviously a staff writer for the Monterey County Herald, and obviously had something kind of weird that you had to report on. And so I want to talk about that because a lot of people maybe don't know the depth of what we would call crop circles. So let me ask you the first question. Is this the first crop circle you've ever investigated or that you've ever gone and done any reporting on?
Yes, it is. And I hope to maybe be able to do one in the future. We'll see. But it was probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Was it something that when you, because you were actually on the field, correct?
Right.
Now, when you went to it and you saw it, was it fascinating? Was it something that you went, oh, my gosh, look at this thing?
You know, it was kind of odd. So when I actually went out into the field to walk around it, there was about 150 people, I would say about 50 yards away, blocked by a barbed wire fence.
Okay.
So when I was walking around the crop circle, the only thing I could really feel or think about was, oh, God, all these people must think I'm a real jerk because I get to walk around the crop circle while they're stuck over there. When I was actually in the crop circle,
yeah,
you could not tell how big it was. You couldn't tell the size.
Okay.
It just basically looked like a wedge shape pushed down, and I didn't even get the grasp of it.
Were people pointing at you and making comments and that kind of thing, or asking you to come in and see if they could come in?
Yeah, they were... there was a lot of that going on. It was sort of an odd situation, and I think this will be, come clearer as we talk more about it. But the security company out there had a thing where they were only letting in media.
Okay.
So I did watch some UFO researchers one time when I was actually busy on the phone with my editor, but I was kind of half hearing. I saw UFO researchers get out there and actually get denied access, but whereas I was allowed in.
Really? So the UFO people actually, true researchers, they were denied access and you were not?
Right.
Wow.
Right. I saw it happen right before my eyes
on
New Year's Eve day.
That's very interesting. Now, let me ask you this. The security company, do you know their name?
Yes. Echelon Security, and they're based out of San Jose.
Okay. And were they there before you?
Yes. Yes. According to the security company, they were hired on Saturday. That's when they showed up. They told me at the scene that they didn't know. All they knew was that the crop circle was there when they got there.
Okay. So when did the crop circle actually form?
The timeline on it is a little sketchy. I would guess probably the week before, so maybe Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay.
Coming on that Saturday is when they were hired.
Okay. And they were basically just keeping people in line.
Yeah. And it was actually, I kind of felt for them because the crowd was a little rowdy. There were men trying to climb up in trees, or they were climbing up in trees.
Okay.
And sort of breaking limbs.
Oh.
But there was a bit of a language barrier because the security company, everybody there spoke English, and the majority of the crowd spoke Spanish.
Okay. So, okay. That. Now, where was this crop circle actually located?
Okay, well, it's in a town called Chular, which is very, very tiny. For your audience out there, it's near a town of Salinas, which you might have heard of because it's featured heavily in John Steinbeck novels.
Yeah.
But it's also where the majority of the country's produce comes from. So it's in an area that we call the salad bowl of the world.
Okay.
It's where the majority of all the strawberries you eat, all the lettuce you eat, it all comes from that basic area.
So
it's very, it's actually, kind of a poorer area, very rural, and a lot of what we would call day laborers.
Okay. Now, when you went out of the crop circle, did you interview any of the people that were onlookers?
Yes, I interviewed a lot of people.
Okay, and what was the consensus? What was the, were they Did they think it was real? Did they think it was fake? Did they think it was cool? Did they think it was stupid? I mean, what was the consensus that you found?
The consensus was that it was real and that they were very excited.
Okay.
So a lot of people, I'm told, traveled from really far, but a lot of people I interviewed,
yeah.
I mean, almost all of them were from the Monterey County area, so
okay.
At most they had traveled like a half hour to get there.
Okay. So, but they, most of them were really excited and believed that this was real.
Yes.
Did you have very many that believed that it was not real, that they looked at it and they said, this is fake, this is a joke?
Unfortunately, I didn't run into a single person that said that when
really?
I was out there. And I really, I don't always interview that many people out at stories, but
yeah.
I think part of me, I got kind of wrapped up in the excitement, and I just interviewed a ton of people. So I must have talked to at least more than 20 people.
Okay.
And I didn't get a single one telling me that they didn't believe it was real.
Now, the 20 people that you interviewed, were they, you know, male, female, young, old, different nationalities? I mean, was it kind of a whole mix?
It was a whole mix.
Okay.
At first, I seemed to be talking to more middle-aged women.
Okay.
But then I talked to a lot of, you call it Latino origin.
Okay.
Or like of Latino descent.
Yes.
So there was a lot of that, you know, with a lot of last names like Hernandez and whatnot. And they were like basically the main people I was talking to. But even I went as far as talking to a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old one day.
Now, it's kind of interesting timing this crop circle between Christmas and New Year's. Did anybody make any comments about the timing of the crop circle?
Nobody out there, but I got a flood of emails and calls about the timing, which people were quite excited about, but nobody out at the circle.
Did they feel that it was a message for the new year? Did anybody give you that kind of idea? Like, hey, I think this is a message from, whether we call it above or ETs or whatever, this is a message for the new year. Did anybody say that?
Nobody said it out at the crop circle, but I just got a few emails about it.
Okay.
That was pretty prevalent over email.
And then in this crop circle, in Braille, it had the number 192. What was your take on that?
Well, I took kind of a different tactic there than probably a lot of the other reporters that were out there. We were getting a lot of emails and a lot of calls of people deciphering it.
Okay.
People were saying they saw Morse code in there. People were saying, oh, we get 192, 192. And there was just everything. I can't even begin to tell you half the theories out there, because they were just basically coming in. And I think what I focused on with my second day story is, the more of the excitement out there.
Yes.
I didn't get into the 192 aspect, but I was fascinated by it.
Well, it's interesting in Braille, you know, or Morse code, but it said it two or three times, 192, 192, 192. It's a very odd number. It's not 200, 500, you know, one, you know, I mean, it's 192. I mean, was there anybody that figured out what 192 meant?
Well, it turns out no one did.
No one knew what 192
meant. Did find out later what it meant, but there was a lot of theories. They're all over the place. I think 192, 192, 192 is like a cycling team in England, and I can't even remember half of it.
Okay.
Okay. A lot of theories.
So we might as well just let everybody probably knows anyway, but we'll let the cat out of the bag for those that don't know. It turns out that this was not a real crop circle from extraterrestrials, correct?
Yes.
Now
it turns out it was a tech company. So
a tech company by the name of NVIDIA. Now, let me ask you a question. When you, okay, because you went out and reported on this, you were in the field, talked to the people, saw the excitement, saw everything. So when you personally heard NVIDIA had done a hoax for a marketing scheme for their computer Tegra K1 chip, is this something that you, were you very disappointed? Did you laugh? What was your actual gut feeling when you found out that this was a hoax?
Yes, I did not laugh. I wasn't surprised that it was a hoax. You know, just because the first YouTube video that came out, it seemed sort of obvious, but I just felt bad because, and I still kind of do because, like I said earlier in your segment, you know, I interviewed so many people out there, and I have their first name, their last name, their age, where they're from, all in the newspaper, and there were these people that were really open with me about how much they were excited about this, how much they believed in extraterrestrials or even, you know, authentic crop circles,
yeah,
they call them. And so, yeah, I actually felt pretty bad that I had, you know, kind of played a part in this. I don't know. It's something about me just rubbing the wrong way, like that it was... A lot of us thought at first it was maybe some promotion for a movie or something.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know why, but something when it just came out that it was just a tech company and it was just a computer chip, and it just seemed so trivial. And
well, let me ask you this, Philip. When you were doing your interviews, did you ever get a hold of the owner of the property?
Okay. What happened was at the Monterey Herald, it was actually a colleague of mine that was able to get through while I was on the phone with someone else.
Okay.
So she called. She got a hold of the property owners are named Scott Anthony and Debbie Anthony.
Okay.
And Debbie Anthony answered the phone for another reporter at our paper, and she just, I don't know if she was lying or not, but apparently she sounded extremely ill and couldn't really answer questions because she was so sick. And she said all she knew about the crop circle was what she saw on news reports.
Okay, well, that's almost, now that almost has to be a lie, because Brett Murray basically admitted that the property owner, Scott Anthony, was in on this the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. So
you have to think.
After the announcement, yeah, I got to interview Brett Murray, who's the head marketing person for NVIDIA. And yes, he admitted the property owner was in on it the whole time.
So 10 to 1 says, and we don't know this for fact necessarily, but Scott Anthony probably received some kind of royalty for using an acre or so of his land and having this thing done.
I would assume so. The company NVIDIA was really, they didn't want to provide like financials for exactly how much everything cost or how much someone was paid and stuff like that. I am getting a lot of emails from people saying, why didn't you ask him how much he was paid and all this other stuff? But
yeah.
I assure any of your listeners who are listening to this right now who want to email me later, I did ask the company and they weren't giving that up.
Well, of course they're not going to give it up, because then if they make a comment like this is a shoestring budget, you're going to find out that, well, wait a second, they hired a Hollywood guy locator to figure out where to put this thing. They had to find the owner of the land and pay him a royalty. And, you know, they're not going to do it for a little bit of money. They're going to do it for a lot of money because there's a crop there.
Yeah. Well, luckily it was just barley crop, which was just there to enrich the soil. And they were just going to mow it down anyways, let it grow up, mow it down.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Now, this Santa Clara-based chip maker, and I guess they do stuff for smartphones and PCs. What was your thoughts about, did you think that this was a cool way to market? I mean, it seems to me if they want to market, I don't know, it was just kind of an odd campaign. What's your thoughts?
Well, I got to admit, I never heard of NVIDIA before this, and I didn't know much about computer chips or smartphone computer chips. I think a lot of the media coverage after it came out that it was a hoax was praising NVIDIA for being such a marketing genius. And I got to admit, it probably worked. For me, I was a little too intimately involved because I had interviewed so many people and I'd been out there. And basically, I didn't think it was a cool way to market. It kind of bothered me, but what do you say?
Yeah, it bothered me a little bit too, but I want to talk about NVIDIA, and we'll do it right after these messages. Be right back. Hi, folks. Ronnie McMullen here, wanting to speak to you from my heart. For those of you that listen to my show, you know I'm candid with my words. I have never been so encouraged to endorse a product as I am now. The Natural Action Water Device from Structured Water Technologies. This little device structures your water and neutralizes chemicals so your water is pure natural. No filters, no gimmicks, and no electricity. Just simple biophoton energy. There's a lifetime warranty and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Thinking about water should be serious. Thinking about drinking water is deadly serious. There's too much information to put in this 60-second commercial, so log on to structuredwatertechnologies.com. That's structuredwatertechnologies.com. You can also click on the link at my website, RonnieMcMullenShow.com. Do the research and find out why this little water unit is changing the world. That's StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. That's StructuredWaterTechnologies.com.
Welcome back to the last segment of the Ronnie McMullen Show. My guest is Philip Molnar, and again, he is a staff writer for the Monterey County Herald in, obviously, Monterey, California. Philip, you know, again, we were talking about a very interesting marketing campaign with NVIDIA, and we see that supposedly the 192, that this so-called code, or this Morse code, points to this Tegra K1 chip that contains 192 computing cores or mini computers for their graphics applications, okay? So this makes sense, but it seems to me, and we were talking about this before the break, you did not know NVIDIA, either did I, and so this might be a great campaign, but here's the question. Their products go in other products, so are we going to say, boy, I want to make sure that my smartphone has NVIDIA product inside? Is that how we're going to do it? See, to me, this makes no sense on the marketing side. They were already, it's not like this company was hurting before this marketing scheme. Just the actual CEO of this company pulls down some very heavy money. Let me look at his name. His name here is Jen Sun Huang. I probably pronounced that wrong, so sorry. He's alma mater Oregon State University, Stanford University. And, you know, this guy pulls down somewhere between $16 and $25 million a year. That's just what he makes. That's not what the actual company makes. So they don't really need, I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, what would they need with the public knowing about them when they're already in all other, they're in a lot of different computer products? So did that ever feel strange to you, that whole marketing thing? You know, like if it was Big Mac, you know, it was McDonald's, you can kind of understand that. If it was a automobile, you know, maybe Audi did it or something, you know, we go, wow, I understand that. But a computer chip, I mean, are we going to say, geez, I don't want that phone because it doesn't have NVIDIA in it? I mean, doesn't that sound kind of weird?
Well, it is weird, but I have to kind of fall to the knowledge of my colleagues that cover the tech industry. Now, what happened was NVIDIA was part of a big Las Vegas tech conference where a lot of new things were being debuted that week. And according to a lot of the articles I was reading about the conference, it's really hard to stand out at that kind of thing. Hmm. Especially like, you know, NVIDIA is probably not going to get as big of a crowd as Apple, and people aren't going to report on them as much. You know, but instead, this particular hoax made sure all of the media was there for their Sunday night presentation about their new computer chip.
Okay.
So I guess that was more of the thought here, was just aimed at this conference that I had never heard of, but is apparently like a really big, it's like kind of like the Detroit Auto Show, except for tech.
So. Is there any, just for curiosity, as we wrap this up, is there any penalty for this? I mean, obviously, there's no penalty to the farmer or to the owner because they were in on it and they probably received some kind of royalty.
But yeah. Obviously, police officers, you know, you and I'm not trying to say you wasted your time, but obviously this is a hoax and you could have been reporting on something else. So you had to go out there. Other people drove many hours to go see this thing, thinking that this is something special. And it's no more than a marketing campaign. Is there any kind of fine or any kind of anything that they have to pay? Or is this just going to be overlooked because it's corporate?
Well, I've spoken with the Monterey County Sheriff's Office, and they actually had to send deputies out there twice. Once on the Monday night after it had been discovered, the crowd got so big it was kind of blocking the road.
Yeah.
And then the second night when, or the second day when people were climbing up in the trees and they wouldn't get out. So the Sheriff's Department basically said that, well, you know, or excuse me, the Sheriff's Office, they said, as of right now, they have no plans to charge them. I mean, it's just part of their job, which was going out there. From my perspective, like, I had a really fun time covering the story, so I'm not going to, you know, claim, you know, they wasted my time or anything like that. I definitely got a good experience out of it, and our readers love the story. So I'm not going to say that. But as far as UFO researchers driving all the way up there or driving south to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did hear a lot about that. I talked to people from the Independent Crop Circle Research Association. Its president is based in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah.
And he told me that, you know, a lot of people he knew drove more than 4 hours to get up there. So there was that wasted gas money and time and everything. So,
well, I think that Brett Murray, which is the marketer for NVIDIA, probably needs to get a little more real. One of his comments was if extraterrestrials were coming here, he said, they would probably pick another medium for communication than crop circles. Obviously, he doesn't know anything at all about what he's talking about there, because we have been communicated to through crop circles from a different dimension and that are real, obviously not through this crop circle. I just want to say, Philip, for coming on the show, thank you so much, and I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for continuing to follow up on the story.
All right. I want to thank my guest, Philip Molnar, for being on the show and giving of his time. Unfortunately, he doesn't get paid for good stuff like that. He was at the Chillar Crop Circle and inside it, and unfortunately, it is a hoax. But, oh boy, but I want to take you down a road that maybe you have not been down. When I found this out and I saw it was a hoax, I had already found out this information, wondering if it was a truth that this crop circle was real. Kind of feeling it wasn't, but yet there was a piece of me that felt there was. It really was. And when the Braille came up of 192, I thought, man, this is not to be seen by the naked eye, but like a hidden message, okay? You know, somebody that understands Braille, this is would not be a hidden message at all. But for a lot of us that do not know Braille, this would maybe be a hidden message in the middle of a crop circle. And obviously, the number being 192. So I looked up 192, and I looked up a lot of different things. And, you know, trying to figure out. And 192, just so you know, iridium is 192. Iridium-192 is an artificial radioactive isotope with a half-life of 75 days, used in radiotherapy. Now, what's that mean? I don't know. Maybe it means something, maybe it doesn't. But then I started thinking, because there is a code, a backtext code, I've brought it out on the show before, a backtext code in Hebrew, and it talks about ships flying, and it talks about UFOs and many other things. So something in my mind said, I wonder if there's anything in Hebrew about this 192. I don't know. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. Maybe some of you are. You can help me out. Email me. So I went to the Jewish Gematria, and when I did,
I found some stunning information. Now, granted, we now know that this crop circle is a hoax. We know that this owner of this company, NVIDIA, is, you know, doing this marketing scam and whatever they're doing, and, you know, and that's fine. But I do find it to be coincidental to look up 192 in the Hebrew, in the Jewish Gematria, and knowing now, looking at this chart, and 192 means a lot of different words. I don't know how I'm up with it, and if you want to look this up on the internet yourself, you can, because it is mind-blowing. And just search in Google, just Jewish Gematria, G-E-M-A-T-R-I-A, and punch in the number 192. You're going to see for yourself, there's some things I'm going to share with you tonight before we close, and there's some things that I can't share with you because of just its nature. But 192 has a lot of different meanings, but one of them was lake of fire. 192 means lake of fire. Thought that was interesting, okay? Another meaning for 192 was criminal. Now, what I do is I kind of look at these words and I put them together and I go, they kind of go together, you know? So criminal, lake of fire, eclipse was one for 192, and I went down the basis, and it's all, you know, kind of, it's strange. It's very strange. Heroin was 192, heroin, thought that was interesting. Life of grace, 192, okay? Then it started getting weird. It started being, I am chaos, it means 192. Genes, DNA, 192. Gene is black, 192. Thought that was really strange. Paradigm, 192. Her mind back, 192. Her mind back. What does that mean? I don't know. Here's one that's interesting. Final seal, 192. Okay, this is Jewish Gematria. 192, final seal. And here's another one, ill homo. Okay, now I didn't even know what that meant. 192, I-L-L-E, homo, 192. It means this dishonorable man. So then I kept looking, 192. Guess what I found? I found Lieberman. The only Lieberman that I know is Joe. And interesting that Joe Lieberman and Barack Obama don't exactly get along real well, but when Barack Obama said that we need to bomb Syria, boy, Joe Lieberman was right there. Interesting. Then you go on, and it says death line means 192. Death line. I'm making this as fast as I can. There's another one that you go down to, okay, and it says something about Obama. You need to look it up yourself. It's very bizarre. Then you go down, it's Bob Diamond, 192. Bob Diamond happens to be part of Barclays Bank and happens to be a big giver to the re-election of Obama. We're going to move on real quick because we're almost out of time. And it goes down, down, down. And then it says Barack and Ian. And there was a meeting between superstar Ian, I can't remember his last name, and about the ecosystem. Is that not strange? I think it's strange. Do with it what you will. Remember, be aware of your surroundings. And good night.
You've been listening to Roddy McMullen, your watchman of the night skies on UFO Encounters Live. If you'd like to visit us during the week, log on to www.ufoencounterslive.com and make contact.